Hello and welcome to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. We're brought to you every week by our sponsors, precisionhydration.com.
Personalize your hydration strategy because the idea of one size fits all doesn't work for hydration. pH's electrolyte supplements match how you sweat, helping you prevent dehydration and cramp. You can get a free box or tube of Precision Hydration worth up to $9.99 with the code OxygenAddict.
And also a massive thank you to our patrons who support the show with a monthly donation. And as you guys can hear, we're brought to you this week by the magic of a Skype connection reaching out to an Australian mobile phone, because Hells is over in Melbourne. So we've got some interesting noises going on in the background here, Hells. I hope this works out all right for the listeners. We're doing our best, aren't we?
I hope we are doing our best. Who would have thought Wi-Fi didn't work, Rob? What a joke. But anyway, it's okay. We're talking, we're communicating. I'm actually in Gold Coast, in humidity, Rob. It's very, very humid, but it's amazing.
I bet it's fairly different to over here where it snowed this weekend on Easter weekend, Hal. So happy days for you over in the heat, the heat and the humidity of the Gold Coast. And it's worth giving a shout out. Well, you didn't get snow, but I think it's worth giving a shout out to our friends at Precision Hydration, who I bet by the sounds of it, you wish you had some Precision Hydration out there with you for those conditions, hey?
So the other day, Rob, I waited until 7 a.m. to go for a little run. I had been, you know, doing stuff at more like 6. 7 a.m, absolute error. The first, you know, 40 minutes of a run, fine. Last sort of second half of it, oh my God. And then I felt totally wiped out then for like the rest of the morning. Interesting. And you're just dripping in sweat. And then they've got fountains along the beach every so often. Like everyone, I was just stopping and trying to throw water over me. But a little bit hot.
Schoolgirl error, going to Australia without any pH in your bag, mate. I feel for you. So if I can get some posted out to you.
do it. Get on it. It was honestly, big error. But, Rob, it's been quite cool. I managed to, I found a 50-meter pool. So I've done a little bit of 50-meter pool swimming, which is always exciting for us. Outdoor as well.
Very nice.
And then, running kind of along the beach, which is always nice. I quite like that.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
And then I've hired a bike, right? I don't really know how much I'm going to get out of it, but it's very beautiful. It's a Cervelo.
Nice. And, a proper road bike,
Proper road bike. And I went on it the other day and I thought, I don't really know where I'm going. This like pack came past me and I thought, well, I'm just going to tag on the end of them. And they probably got, I just thought, oh no, that's not very good etiquette, is it, for riding in a group, just trying to tag on. So I just spoke to the guy at the back. I was like, hi, is it okay if I just try and hang on? I might not, you'll probably drop me. But he's like, yeah, no worries. So I went for a little ride with them. And every time we came off a roundabout or went around the corner, I was like, oh God, I need to up my cornering skills. They're just rubbish.
Oh, bless you.
Then they went in a different direction. He was like, no, you need to go left here and like work your way back round, yada, yada, yada. And then I came across another cyclist, because by this point I was like, I really don't know how to get back to where I was. So I just followed blindly. And this other guy was like, yeah, I'm going back that way, I'll ride with you. And he said that he turned out to be Australia's 2012 sumo wrestling champion.
Really?
Really, yep.
Wow. Well, you do get about, don't you? Spreading the triathlon world out in Australia. So Hells, of course, is out in Australia to cover the Commonwealth Games, which are kicking off in a few days' time. And it looks like Al Brownlee's going to be carrying the flag for England, hey?
Yeah, that's true. He is. He has been named flag bearer. So he will be carrying it in the opening ceremony, which we're recording this Tuesday night UK time. It's Wednesday morning Australia time, and that is tonight, Rob. So for me, tonight, the opening ceremony, for you tomorrow, and he'll be carrying that flag into the stadium. And it's quite interesting, Rob, because he's actually racing the next day.
Well, very much looking forward to it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see. mean, you can't turn down an honour like that, can you? But it'll be interesting to see if it has an effect on his leg standing up for a good few hours, won't it? I don't think he's too bothered. I think he's got the confidence to pull anything off that lad, hasn't he?
I think so. Yeah, it'll be interesting. And then, so the Thursday is the individual men's and women's, and then Saturday is the mixed relay. So they haven't confirmed teams yet for the mixed relay.
Looking forward to watching it. It'll be nice to watch a bit of faster paced action. It's going to be very exciting.
It's going to be really cool.
Are you going to get down to see it? Are you going to get a chance to see it live?
I'm going to see the men's and women's races, but not mixed.
Cool. Well, look forward to... Yeah. So by the time we talk next week, they'll have happened, won't they?
It'll all be over, All be over. Not the games itself, but the triathlon will be done and dusted. So they compete at the very, very beginning of the games, and then, then it's like swimming towards the beginning, whereas the athletics is like in the second half.
Yeah.
And then lawn bowls just goes on forever.
Yeah. Hey, did you see that thing about Gwen Jorgensen running the 10,000 metres at Stanford this week?
Yeah. Obviously, the 2-minute PB.
31:55. Pretty toasty, hey?
Honestly, yes. And I was reading it. There's a really, really good article that Sport Illustrated has done with a really nice interview. So check it out, because it's really quite interesting, Rob. She talks about how she's adapted to marathon training. And initially, she probably just thought, I can just sort of crack on and run marathon straight away. And she moved to the coach who... coaches a lot of the top marathon runners in the US, and Shalane Flanagan is who she's been running with a lot, and I think she won, I want to say, the New York Marathon this year.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
It's so interesting that they were talking about sort of slow pace, and in this article it actually says that Gwen says, "My granny pace for triathlon was 9-minute miles."
My what pace, sorry?
Granny, as in slow, very slow running pace. My granny pace.
Yeah.
Is what it says. For triathlon, when she was triathlon training, 9-minute mile.
Right, okay. Well, it just goes to show that we've had something going on all these years then, doesn't it? If Gwen can run 9-minute miles, then the rest of us can as well and feel happy about it. You can never run too slow.
No. So yeah, I thought that was very, very interesting.
Yeah.
She'll be doing, I think she said she'd like to see if she can perhaps do a marathon in the autumn.
It's definitely got to be on the cards, hasn't it?
Especially if she wants to do it in Tokyo. Mm.
Yeah. I think potentially 2 marathons before Tokyo, because she's got to qualify for the Olympic trials, hasn't she, before she goes to it. So yeah, good. Well, I'll be looking forward to seeing how she goes there. She's got the pedigree for sure.
Definitely.
Well, I'll tell you what else, because we've got a bit of noise on the line here. Let's jump forward and kick into Coach's Couch. Have you got access to the question at your end, or do you want me to read it out as well?
No, I've got it. So,
brilliant.
The question is, Rob, what effect is running a spring marathon going to have on the rest of my triathlon season?
Yeah, so this is from one of the guys I coach in the team who is, he's entered into London in a couple of weeks' time, and he's concerned that he doesn't really know how it's going to affect sort of, he's trained and trained and trained for the marathon like a marathon runner, but he wants to do triathlon 70.3 and Ironman later on in the season. And so he's now a little bit nervous. He's in that point where he's done all the running, and he's not sure how it's going to affect his running later on in the season. So what I've said to him is basically, if you can do a massive run build in the springtime, it makes for a fantastic running base for later on in the year. But the key is it only works if you stay injury free. For some reason, I think it really improves the durability of your legs for later on in the season. It means you can basically absorb, this pretty much goes for all distances, you can absorb whatever training you do run-wise much, much better later in the year, whether you're racing sprint, Olympic, all the way through to Ironman. The key is, if you're going to race that marathon, you can't discount how hard it's going to be or how long it'll take you to recover from doing that marathon, both mentally and physically, if you actually race it. So my advice is always, or for the vast majority of people, is do that training for the marathon as though you're going to race the marathon, and then run the marathon at sort of goal Ironman race pace or easy run pace, if you like. So rather than absolutely hammering that marathon, if your focus is on a triathlon-like run in the season, basically save your racing beans for then and just go around at your goal Ironman pace. Now, for athletes who are actually focusing on an Ironman, it's got two benefits. You're not going to burn yourself out early season, and it also gives you a chance to practice that whatever pace you're going to be running for the Ironman goal pace, which, even for our Kona qualifiers, it's not actually that fast in terms of what they're capable of running. So it feels like a very long, catered, long, steady run. I even think 9.1's a good idea, but you're not always going to be able to do it in the marathons, especially in the context of London. I think it's almost impossible to slow down and walk and not get in loads of people's ways. So yeah, my advice is, I think doing that massive run build in the spring is going to have a really positive effect. So be confident. You've just got to have the confidence to hold yourself back if you're going to be racing an Ironman later in the year. But if you're going to have that once in a lifetime chance to go and race the marathon, go and do it, but just be prepared for the recovery period afterwards. And that kind of wraps that one up, really. If you've got any more questions, you can fire them through to us at help@oxygenaddict.com. And if you need any help with your training, with your coaching, just fire us an email and we shall do what we can to help you. And all of that else leads us into this week's interview of the week. And I think I'm going to let you introduce this because I listened to it this morning. I was out for my long, steady run, and it almost reduced me to tears at a couple of points, this interview. It's one of the best ones you've ever done. It's amazing.
Well, this week's interview is with Lauren Parker, Rob, who Lauren is an Australian athlete. A year ago, she was training for Ironman Port Macquarie, I think a couple of weeks out, and she had a horrendous bike crash, and that left her essentially paralyzed. But Rob, she is what an attitude she has, and you'll hear it during the interview. She's actually qualified in the para triathlon. She did her first race earlier, like a few months ago, and qualified for the Australian team. So she will be competing on Saturday, and it's just a pretty remarkable story from her. So here it is. Here is the interview with Lauren Parker.
Lauren Parker, hello and welcome to the Oxygen Addicts Triathlon Podcast. How are you?
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm pretty good.
We've talked about you a little bit on the podcast, but people might not have heard that. So just introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Lauren Parker, and I've been a professional triathlete for the last 10 years. It came to an abrupt halt back in on April 18th, 2017, when I had a bike accident when I was out training for Port Macquarie Ironman, and my bike accident actually happened 2 weeks before Port Macquarie Ironman in Australia. Both my tires burst, and I went 45 kilometers an hour into the guardrail, breaking my scapula, fracturing my pelvis, broken ribs, punctured lung, broken back, and severe spinal cord damage. It left me completely paralyzed from the waist down instantly, and I went straight into surgery. That same day, I was told by the surgeon that I had 0 to 1% chance of ever walking again. So you can imagine how I was feeling.
Can you talk us through the last 12 months of your life?
Yeah, obviously it's been very devastating, ups and downs, and I spent 3 months in hospital and 3 months in rehab. Basically, in rehab, I was being taught how to learn to live in a wheelchair. First, I couldn't get my head around living in a wheelchair. Every thought came into my head that my life was over, and the person I was has gone, and I miss the girl that I was. But I've got to look to reality now and just make the most of what I have. And I chose to move forward and be positive in rehab when I got a phone call from the co-founder of the Challenged Athletes Foundation in San Diego, Bob Babbitt, and he invited me over to the triathlon in October 2017. I asked rehab if I could have 5 days off to go there, and they basically said no, so I checked myself out of rehab and jumped on a plane the next day to be over, you know, with the Challenged Athletes family, and it's the best rehab I ever did, and it inspired me, and it's where I thought, well, I can get back to triathlon again.
That is a really amazing story, because Bob Babbitt is such a cool guy. He's such a nice guy, isn't he? And actually for him to kind of get in contact with you and say, hey, come over here, that must have been amazing.
Yes. He's absolutely amazing. And he interviewed me back in 2015 at Kona, the Ironman World Championships. I raced Kona twice, 2014 and 2015. So he knew of me. And when I had my accident, he obviously it touched him and wanted to contact me. So, yeah, without him, like, I don't know if I would have started back doing triathlon, because I never thought I would back in hospital.
And what was it like when you went over to California and you were part of that event?
Yeah, it was a huge eye-opener, just seeing so many people in so many situations like me or worse. It really, touched me, and listening to all their stories, it really gave me hope that, if these people can be happy, and so could I. So being over there, meeting so many people, I just got so much inspiration from being around such happy people that were in so, bad situations. But, yeah.
Was there one...
It really made a difference.
There one person in particular that you remember talking to that made that kind of change in your head?
Yes, two people, actually. One person that you might know of, Laura Siddle.
Yep.
She went over to San Diego with me to be there for the weekend, and having her by my side, talking to her, really helped me, be positive and really helped me decide whether to get back into triathlon again. And another girl that I met over there was Makili Jones, who was a medalist at the 2000 Olympics in triathlon. And she basically spoke to me about how I would get back into triathlon, contacting the Federation in Australia, and she played a big part in me starting back in triathlon as well. But all the other people over there from, all over America, just to be in that one spot in San Diego for this triathlon weekend that was called the Best Day in Tri, which I didn't understand at first, but once I was there, it was definitely the Best Day in Tri. Seeing everyone compete and the smiles on their faces was just, I can't even describe it, but it was very overwhelming, and I just got a lot of positivity and hope from that.
So you come back to Australia. And then did you make that phone call when you were out in the States, or did you make it when you got home to say, hey, I want to get back into this?
Yeah, actually, Makili Jones ended up phoning the Federation in Australia, and when I got back to Australia, they phoned me, they contacted me and said they'd love to help me get back into triathlon again, and they basically gave me a few races that I could start with, and I basically got straight into training. I have one of the best coaches in the world, wheelchair coaches, Andrew Dawes, who also trains Kurt Fernley. I don't know if you know of Kurt Fernley, but he is just a wheelchair marathon racer. He races marathon in London, New York, Boston Marathon, and to have him in Newcastle, where I live, and to have his coach is just a blessing. Like, I've got them right at my doorstep, helping me, guiding me. So it was quite easy getting the help that I needed to get into triathlons, especially in the racing wheelchair part, which is the run. And I got a hand cycle, which Bob Babbitt helped me out with, and the Challenge Athletes Foundation helped me out with that. And yeah, I just started training, and I did my first race in January of this year, and which was a Commonwealth Games qualifier. And I didn't have any thought that, you know, I would go to Comm Games. I just had my accident, you know, 9 months ago. But I did the race, and I came under the qualifying time for the Comm Games qualifying time. And a few weeks later, the team was announced, and I had qualified. So, yeah, it's very surreal that I'm actually going to be competing at the Commonwealth Games in a few weeks on the 7th of April. I'm very excited.
When you got that confirmation, could you believe it?
I couldn't believe it. It was so surreal, and it didn't sink in straight away, because everything has happened so fast over the last year. I went through so many emotions, and to qualify for the Commonwealth Games, you know, my first really exciting thing since my accident, you know. I couldn't get my head around it, but now I have, and I'm super excited, and I can't wait to race on the 7th of April.
Lauren, has everyone got tickets to come and watch? They always sell out. Has everyone got them?
Yeah, I have so many friends and family that is going to be on the Gold Coast to watch, which is really exciting. It's great that it's, you know, in Australia, that I can have my friends and family there watching. It's pretty exciting.
And will you head up there? Have you got like holding camp and stuff up there? Is that coming up soon?
Yeah, so, well, I go up on the 3rd of April and go into the village, the athletes' village, and my race is on the 7th of April. I'll have about 4 days before I race up in the village, and then I'll stay for the rest of the time over the games. I'll get some tickets and go and watch another sport.
What are you most proud about, having made that Commonwealth Games selection?
I'm proud of, you know, changing my mindset back there in San Diego and deciding to move forward, which was a lot of effort because, you know, I just had my accident pretty much, and my head was still around getting used to being in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, and just being positive is what changed my mindset, and to get to the Comm Games this early since my accident, it just makes me think, you know, that I have strength and hope, and I have strength to move forward in my life and to change things and make the most of my situation.
You've actually been one of the quickest, haven't you, to adapt from triathlon to paratriathlon. Do you put that all down to the change in your mindset?
I don't put it all down to the change in my mindset, but I know being an athlete before my accident has played a huge part. I mean, I've been an athlete all my life, starting off with swimming. I was a swimmer for 12 years before doing triathlon, so I've had that athlete mindset my whole life, and I think that's what made the decision so easy to get back into triathlon. I just wanted to get back into being an athlete again, because that was who I am. That was the closest thing that I would have to my old life, is to be an athlete again.
And that competitive spirit and the you know, the sort of the consistency of training and all those sort of things, it's what you know.
Yeah, and it's what I love. I love training and racing, and it's where I'm the most happy. It's where I feel, you know, whole again. pretty much.
How have you found adapting to using the hand cycle? Because that would have been something that you'd never done before, and the muscle recruitment and everything would be so different.
Yeah, it was very hard, especially the first time I got in a hand cycle and started pedaling with my arms. I actually hated it because I hated using my arms. I spent 10 years building up my legs, and now I've got to start with my arms, start from scratch. So, but it soon, after doing a few sessions, I soon got stronger and become to like the machine that I was using, and I work hard in training. I push myself so hard, and I have, once I set goals, I look towards them and I do everything I can to reach those goals.
Do you get funding? Are you on the Australia Triathlon funding program?
Yes, well, I will be once I start doing some more races and getting some points. But they have a plan for me over the next year to do races to get points for the World Championships in September. So they are going to help me out. They are going to help fund my overseas trips, which is great.
That's really cool. But have you had to sort of self-fund or fundraise everything so far?
Yes. Yep.
That's tough.
Yeah, and just being a triathlete, it's very expensive. Even before my accident, everything, costs a lot of money. And I travelled the world with my triathlon before my accident, and that was all self-funded. I had a job, I worked hard, and I spent 6 months of every year over in Europe training. Which I was very lucky to do that. But it is very expensive.
And do you work now, as well as all your training? Are you still working?
Yes, I'm working for my ex-coach, who was my coach before my accident. He has a triathlon shop in Sydney, and I actually work from home. I look after his online store. His online website, adding products and things like that, changing prices, and so I'm that keeps me busy outside of training.
And organizing a charity ball, tell us about that.
There was so much organization for the ball, because I do a bit of graphic design as well, so I had to design all the booklets for the ball and all the media posters and everything like that. So I was very busy, and I had to write my speech as well, which was an hour long. So, it was quite stressful, but I had an awesome time at the ball. It went so smooth, but it's good that it's done now, and that I can just focus on my training and for Comm Games.
Is it going to be an annual thing, Lauren? Are you going to do an annual ball?
No, I don't think so. Okay. That's up to the foundation. I have it's the Lauren Parker Foundation, a foundation that has formed over the last year. So they put on the ball. So if they decide to have another ball annually, then that would be great. And I'm so grateful for everyone's generosity and wanting to help me.
Do you know yet how much you raised from it?
I don't know yet. They're still working things out, adding things up. But I'll know by the end of the week.
Okay, let me know.
Yeah, I will. For sure.
Excellent. So then we can tell everyone how much you raised. So who are you working with now, and what influence has Kurt Fearnley had on you?
Yeah, who I'm working with as my coach, or
yeah. So Andrew Dawes is your coach, and then the influence of Kurt and working with him.
Yeah. Kurt Fearnley is the most amazing person that I've met. He is so inspirational, and to train alongside him, he just gives me so much help and guidance because the racing wheelchair is very technical, and he 100% knows what he's doing. He's done it for decades, and having him help me is a huge benefit. And to train alongside him, he's so motivational. He does about 4 laps of the athletics track to my one, but we get along so well.
And so before your accident, you said you were like in Europe for some of the year, and then would you have been in Sydney as well for some of the year?
Yeah. So because my coach lived in Sydney, I would travel from Newcastle to Sydney, which is about 2 hours a week, to do some sessions and then come back. And then for about 4 to 5 months every year during the Australian winter, I would go over to Spain with my coach to the island of Mallorca, and we would train there and fly to races in Europe from there. So, yeah, I'm very lucky to have had that opportunity to do that, because training in Mallorca is where all the Sky team, the Tour de France Sky team, trains there. It's very good for triathlon training, and I got so strong from spending the summer over in Europe, and then when I come back to Australia doing the Australian circuit, it definitely was a benefit.
And you've obviously now you've obviously got that engine inside you, and that must have helped massively when it came to actually saying, yep, I'm going to go back into triathlon.
Yeah, it did. It definitely did. But I really wanted to get something back that I had of my old life, and that was to get back into triathlon and training and doing what I loved.
So are you still, are you hoping to go to the Paralympics in Tokyo in a couple of years' time?
Yeah, so that is one of my goals, to be at 2020 Tokyo Paralympics, and that is what Triathlon Australia is wanting to put funding towards me to get me there, and I hope to get the gold medal there. So, yeah, that's my goal.
And, like, you know, that would never have been, that would never, ever have even been on the horizon, would it?
No, definitely not. My goals before was, you know, Kona. I wanted to be Ironman World Champion. All my sights were set on becoming, the champion in Kona. But now it's definitely changed, and now I've got, you know, the Paralympics to focus on, and then the Com Games after that, and then the next Paralympics. So, yeah, I set quite high goals for myself.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Would you like to go back to Kona and race?
I do want to go back to Kona. It is, I love the race. It's my favourite race destination, and I'm using short course triathlon as a stepping stone, because I'm not strong enough to get to Kona right now, but my aim is 2021. I want to get back to Kona.
And what would it take between now and, so, you know, 2021 to get back there?
Definitely strength on the bike, on the hand cycle. The hand cycle is the hardest part for a person in a wheelchair in Kona. You have the same cut-off times as able-bodied people, and to get through that bike cut-off is really hard. Once you're on the run, then you're pretty much home. You can do a marathon in a racing chair in 2.5 hours, whereas the hand cycle, it's much slower than a normal bike. So definitely I'd be working on the hand cycle the most to get that endurance in my arms. And I have the swim covered. I'm already swimming 4.5 kilometres every session.
What was it like getting back in the water the first time, Lauren?
That was probably one of my most devastating days. It was in rehab, and I got into a hydrotherapy pool. I was so excited that I was going to get in the pool for the first time since my accident, and I thought I was actually going to get in there and be able to swim. I thought that, you know, at least I've got one part of me that is still there. But I got in the water and did one stroke, and I couldn't get the other stroke over. And having swam for 20 years, 12 to 16 kilometres a day, to swim fast, to that day in rehab, not being able to swim, my legs just sunk to the floor. It was my most devastating day out of my whole time, out of my whole journey. But after that, I thought about it and decided to get some wetsuit pants for buoyancy for my legs. And I tied my legs together with the wetsuit pants, and they brought my legs up, so I was able to swim. So I'm lucky that all the triathlon events, you actually use a wetsuit for that buoyancy. So that's how I get through the swim. Otherwise, without that buoyancy, I pretty much can't swim anymore, which, yeah, it was devastating because I thought, well, you know, my legs are gone. How can I get around my arms being gone? Like, yeah, as you can imagine, it was devastating from, you know, being a swimmer for so long and to not being able to swim.
Have you surprised yourself how fast you have got back into it and developed and, you know, got that Commie Games qualification? Has it surprised you?
It has surprised me. It's quite overwhelming, but I wouldn't be where I am without the support that I've had from friends and family and the triathlon community. They've been a massive support, and I'm very lucky to have that support because, yeah, as I said, I'd probably still be in rehab if I didn't have those people, those special people around me, being there for me and, you know, guiding me to be positive again. So, yeah, I'm very thankful for the people that I had around me.
Oh, that call from Bob Barber, I love it. Lauren, the hand cycle, can you just describe what's it like that first time that you get in the hand cycle and just that movement? I mean, the first time you did it, how long could you do it for?
Like 10 minutes. And my arms were so sore after 10 minutes. I had, no strength. I got in my first hand cycle when I was in rehab, and I didn't have nowhere near as much strength that I do now. So 10 minutes, and I hated it, but it's what I kept doing in rehab because it was some form of exercise. I'd just had 4 months off doing any exercise at all. So, yeah, I just kept at it, kept improving on that 10 minutes, and that's what led me to where I am now. I just kept going, kept working on my weaknesses.
And what could you do now? I mean, how long could you do it for now?
Now I could, the most I've done is 2 hours. I could go longer, but I don't need to because I'm doing short course triathlon racing.
Yep.
And within that 2 hours, it would be some hard intensity workouts. It wouldn't just be riding, you know, for 2 hours. There'd be hard workouts that get your heart rate high. So it's very challenging, and that's what I love about training.
And I guess you've always got, like in a triathlon, there are always improvements that you can make, and you can see that progress.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm definitely seeing, you know, a lot of improvements now because it's a new sport for me, just the same sport but in a different way. So I'm seeing improvements happen fairly quickly as I get stronger and get used to the new equipment that I'm using, because it's very technical, and it'll take me a few years to actually get to where I need to be, but you know, I've got to take one step at a time, in a sense. Well, I can't step, but one roll at a time.
Roll with it. That's it. You're going to roll with it, Lauren.
I do.
So, next up, commies. What's the aim there?
I've set my goal that I want to win Com Games as well. If I don't, I'd be super happy with my effort regardless, because just being there, it will be 2 weeks before the anniversary of my accident racing the Com Games. So just being there is, I'm very proud of myself, but I do have that goal of getting gold, which I'll set my sights for, and that's what I've been thinking about every training session.
Go for it. We will be following, absolutely be following. And Lauren, if you could, you know, one thing that you've perhaps learned over the past year, maybe about life, maybe slightly philosophical, what would it be? What would your lesson be to people listening now?
Yeah, it would be whatever your circumstance, there's always someone worse off. And to, you know, be positive, think about changing your mindset to always thinking positive and moving forward to get over whatever obstacle that you're facing.
Top stuff.
Because that's what I did. And I've come to know that, you know, before my accident, complaining about the little things, I just think, wow, no one should be complaining about those little things when, you know, there's always someone worse off. And I hope to inspire people, like that, like what I've been through in my journey. I hope to inspire people in their own circumstance and lives.
Do you know, Hels, I was running along the canal, especially towards the end of the interview when she's talking about sort of counting your blessings and why did I ever worry about the small stuff. And I, honestly, I was starting to well up as I was running along, just thinking we all kind of bimble along in our own worlds with our concerns about whatever we're worried about that day. And actually, you're 99.9% of the way there most days just by being able to pull on your running shoes and get to go out for a run. It made me so bloody thankful.
Yeah. Yep. Honestly, it is so, so true.
She's a little rock star as well, isn't she? What an amazing attitude all the way through. Considering it's not even been a year since she had the accident.
And her life has just been, you know, turned upside down. And I also thought, wow, the influence that someone like, you know, Bob Babbitt could also, you know, has on so many people.
Yeah.
And almost just brings them into an environment whereby it is a positive environment with a Challenged Athletes Foundation. And actually, as she sort of said, I can still be an athlete. Even if I'm in a wheelchair, I can still, you know, really, really enjoy life. And my God, it's nowhere near the same life. But, you know, I just thought what she was saying. And then the support that she had from people like Laura Siddle as well, who would just be there for her and to go with her. I just thought, that's amazing. Go all the way to California and just be there as support.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty amazing story all around that. I think it's one of those ones that I think the world doesn't know about it yet, but they're going to. You know, you can see potentially this playing out in 3 years' time. And she said she wants to go to
Tokyo
and then go on to do Kona. So you can see this story arc, can't you, if it all goes perfectly, of ending up getting to go to Kona and doing that race after potentially having won the gold medal in Tokyo. And yeah, I just look forward to following her story for many years to come.
Definitely.
What a brilliant interview.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So Lauren, best of luck for Saturday. Go out and enjoy it. And just make the most of being and racing in your home crowd. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, it totally will. And nice work, Hels. It's a cracking interview, that. Good on you. So there's just a couple of things to mention before we wrap it up this week. First one is, we've had a couple of emails through about, can we get Oxygen Addict kit? And you like the podcast, can we race in the kit? You totally can. The Oxygen Addict kit is available to buy as of today on the Raceskin website. If you just go to Raceskin, I think it's .co.uk or .com, you can click on that and click through to my club shop and you'll see the Oxygen Addict, the Oxygen Addict kit. You're welcome to race in that and train in it. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, very comfortable.
Hats off to them.
I can vouch for that. It works fine in a longer distance too. Yep, good. And you might get extra cheers if you get mistaken for Rob or me.
Oh, that's it. Lots of extra cheers, isn't it? I got loads of extra cheers at that race in Lanzarote. And I had the exact same thing happen that you did when you were in Wales. And I was like, this is bizarre.
So, I should have bought it out here. I felt really silly. I was like, oh, damn, I should have bought a running vest.
Yeah, you should have done, mate.
Said the word. Didn't do it.
Oh, well.
Didn't do it.
If you happen to be cycling in Australia this week and an English girl hops on the back of your pack, you have to ask her whether she's Helen Murray from the podcast.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Won't be hanging around for long on any packs, Rob.
No.
It was the furthest I've ridden outside all year.
Well, you did like to get home by the sound of things.
Oh, honestly. It was so nice, though. I was like, this is what it's like, T-shirt and shorts.
Yeah, it makes such a difference, doesn't it?
Yep.
I've just done a video call with an athlete in Minnesota, and he's got 11 inches of snow on the ground. And it's like,
oh my goodness.
Actually, makes me feel pretty good about where I am right now. So
yeah.
Keep your chin up, Nick, if you're listening. Listen, the one thing we've also got to say before we wrap it up for today, send in your nominations to us for the Tribe Triathlete of the Month Award. We announced last week our winner for the March one. So we've got 4 more weeks yet for the April winner. If you or somebody you know has raced this month and had a decent result and you want to get recognition, ideally for your friend, but for yourself as well, if no one is there that can nominate you, then send it through. You win a massive pack of 18 delicious shakes and bars and snacks and things from Tribe and a t-shirt as well. But more importantly, you get to share your story with the crowd here on the podcast. So send it through. You can either fire it to helen@oxygenaddict.com or help@oxygenaddict.com as well. And that helps. Pretty much wraps up our show for this week. We're going to let you get back to that beautiful sunshine outside. Enjoy the opening ceremony tonight, your time, and we'll enjoy watching it tomorrow.
Thank you. I will do. And happy training, and catch up next week.
Awesome stuff. All right, everybody. Hope you've enjoyed this week's show. Fire us a note on Twitter or Facebook to let us know what you've thought. I think that interview with Lauren is just fantastic. So I hope it's inspired you. Get yourselves out there today and do something awesome. Until next week, have a great, safe training and racing week. I'm Coach Rob Wilby.
I'm Helen Murray.
And you've been listening to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. We'll speak to you all again soon. Cheers now. See ya.